Welcome to Dialogue Out Loud. My name is Amanda Beardsley, and I'm the art editor of Dialogue, a journal of Mormon thought. And today I am honored to be speaking with Julie Yuen Yem. Julie is an artist whose work is featured in our summer 2025 issue of Dialogue. Born and raised in Hong Kong, Julie was trained in creating art using Western techniques and media while in school. Her art bridges Chinese cultural traditions and Christian faith in a way that feels both intimate and expansive to me. Her pieces often draw from the delicate art of Chinese paper cutting techniques and are layered with symbolism and quiet power. She has also shown in art exhibitions in Hong Kong, in different art shows in Utah, and the LDS Church's 11th, 12th, and now the 13th Art International Art Competition. So if you wanted to go and check out her art right now, you could do so at the Church History Art Museum. And so she's also won two purchase awards. So before we get into all of that, however, welcome, Julie. I'm so honored to be speaking with you. My first question just asks you to tell us a little bit more about yourself. How did you find your way into being an artist? What brought you to the art world? Is there anything in your background that kind of like influenced you as an artist?
I always liked to do art since I was a little girl. And when I was in Hong Kong, when I was growing up, art is not a very important thing in Hong Kong because people are more interested in finance and business, that kind of thing. But my family, especially my mom, really encouraged me to do what I wanted to do, especially my sister. And she said, you know, at first when I started school, started college, my family actually wanted me to do business major. But then my sister said, do what you really want to do. So I did art, and it was not an easy decision because it's not easy to find a job in Hong Kong. So when I went back home, I became a teacher, and I taught art in that elementary school. And I always enjoyed doing art all my life. And it was almost when I was about to retire, when I'm getting really old. And I asked myself, I study art for my major, but I haven't really done art. I taught art, but teaching art and doing art are two different things. So I told myself I must pick up my paintbrushes and to do art again. So I did, and I always have a passion for Chinese paper cutting. So that's when I decided to pick up Chinese paper cutting. And at that time I looked through the internet and couldn't really find any Chinese paper cutting artwork that are related to religion. They are more related to traditional Chinese folk stories and traditions. So I told myself maybe I could try. So that's the first time I tried to integrate Chinese folk art with religious theme. That was my first piece of artwork, which was called The Plan of Salvation. And I entered it for, that was my first time I entered for the 11th International art competition, and I never expect anything. I just thought, if my piece of work can be chosen for the exhibit, and I will be very, very happy. But it was really unexpected that I got the message that my piece of work has won a purchase award. I was totally very surprised that, so at that time I decided I will continue to do more art with the more Chinese art with the religious theme.
I love that. I think there's so many things that stand out to me there. First of all, like the value of your family in kind of shaping who you are as an artist. It's so interesting that some of them were very like, you need to be a business major, and then your sister. And I think that's the beauty of sisters, right? Is they are like, do the thing you love. And then also they want to be probably.
She is still my fan. She always loved my artwork. Whenever I do a new piece of artwork, she always like to comment on that. She is really supportive.
That's beautiful. I love that. My sister's very similar. And every time I do something, she comes to me and is like, very proud. And so I love that we have that in common. I also really love that you were an art teacher, so, and that you kind of probably built a lot of your art off of some of the more like traditional art practices, right? Like linear perspective and drawing and painting, and to teach kids. Is that kind of what I understood?
Well, not really, because if you are teaching elementary school, you try to expose the children to different forms of art. So we do a lot of different, not necessarily Chinese, style art, but we do pencil drawing, we do watercolor craft, and sometimes we do traditional Chinese art, especially in doing like Mid-Autumn Festival, we'll make lanterns with the kids, and during Chinese New Year, we'll sometimes I'll try to teach them Chinese paper cutting, but it's not easy for young kids, but usually I do it with the upper grade level, like primary 5 or 6, and they really love it.
That's wonderful. I wish I could be a child in your class. I would. And now that you've won like awards and stuff, and you're probably, like you're being written about and your art is on the cover of Dialogue for the summer, issue, I think they're all going to be like, she was my teacher.
That I don't know, but I do have a few students. Actually, not in my school, but I also taught some art classes. And because they learned art from me when they were really young, now they have grown up. A couple of them have become architects. And they said they love to draw, they love to make models with me, and that's why they wanted to become an architect. And a couple of them, they're not really in the field of art, but they still do art. And they always share with me their works.
That's really lovely. You sound like an incredible teacher. I want to go back to what you were saying about a few things. So the first is the plan of salvation. I know that we use that in our summer issue as our cover. And it's interesting because in another one of our Dialogue Out Loud episodes that features kind of like a glimpse inside of that issue, I was asked to talk a little bit about your work to help bring visibility and get people excited about the issue. And I know that I want to give a lot of credit to Margaret Olson Hemming, who I think you worked with, and she's now the co-editor, but she chose your art. And I was so excited that I got to actually be the one to talk about it, though, because she asked me to answer the question of which work in the issue I found myself still thinking about and what it evoked for me. And so I actually chose Plan of Salvation, which you created in 2019. And in pieces like this, I was really struck by your use of the Chinese paper technique and cutting, and that interplay between positive and negative space that I saw, like the white that stood out and figure, like foreground and background. And I was curious, you talked a little bit about what drew you to this medium, but I want to know, how do you feel like it enhances kind of like your storytelling as an artist to use that technique? And I think as a follow-up question, how do you even do Chinese paper technique?
For the traditional Chinese paper cutting, they usually illustrate some kind of story, legends or traditional story. And so the most difficult part, like you've mentioned about the negative and positive space, and most difficult part is that when we do the Chinese paper cutting, we have to simplify a lot of things, like the facial feature. You can't really use the facial feature to express anything because it is very simple. So the most difficult part for me when I decided to do actually any kind of Chinese paper cutting is, what do I want to express the most in my work? So, for example, in the Plan of Salvation artwork, in the center of it, you can see two personages, which is Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ. And I wanted to show that they are the creator of the world. So I have make something that looks like the earth, and then have them stand in front of them to show that. And I could only really show their eyes, not maybe a little bit of the mouth, so you can't really see any expression. So I have to really think about what is the most important element in that picture, which is I want to tell that they are the creator of the earth. So I make that. And then surrounding the earth, I have different kinds of plantation, plants, and animals to show that they make all of this. It took me, I had to do a few sketches before I actually do the paper cutting to be able to capture what I want to express most. So that's the most important part.
Okay.
If you understand what I mean.
Yeah, it sounds like you have to have a lot of forethought. And yeah. I think what I'm hearing is that you have to kind of decide ahead of time, like, how am I going to reduce these really complex real life forms into shapes and
yeah, you
know, while still being recognizable as
exactly yeah.
That's so neat. And I think what strikes me about what you're saying is that in this piece especially, you're really interested and you wanted to emphasize creation with Jesus and Heavenly Father kind of in the middle, the plants, the flora, the fauna, and all of these kind of beautiful designs around it that spiral outwards of it. And I'm curious, as an artist, do you feel like you are also in that creation process, like able to kind of mimic or relate to maybe creation itself? Like how do you feel when you're like, I know that like all of that is a grand design, right? To be able to make a world, and as an artist you're doing this on like a smaller level. So do you feel like it helps you reflect back on that creation process when you're creating yourself?
I remember one general authority, I couldn't remember who it was, said that we are all creators. Whether you're an artist or not, we're all good. For example, if you're a mom, you want to make some dessert for your family, you're creating something. And so, yes, I do feel like I am a creator. That's what an artist should be. I think I'm still learning in this process because each time when I am doing a piece of artwork, I always encounter some kind of problems, and I have to think how I want to solve this problem. And I remember when I was going to school, my professor told us that an artist is a problem solver. So we have a limited space. We want to create something, and we have a lot of challenges, a lot of problems. And what we need to pay attention to, or like you said, what we need to reduce so that we can center our attention to the main elements. So I'm happy to say that I feel like a creator, but I'm still learning to do it. Sometimes I make a lot of mistakes, I do, but once I can solve the problem, I feel very happy.
I like that humility on the one hand with the aspiration of becoming, you know, like someone who can create your own worlds. I think that's a very powerful and empowering kind of way to think of your role as an artist. And so I appreciate you sharing that. You know, you said earlier on in this conversation was that when you looked online for folk art or Chinese paper kind of representations or artists doing that kind of work, you weren't able to find much. And so I think it's really neat that you identified kind of a gap probably in representation and then made your own because you didn't see yourself in maybe those things. And I wanted to ask a follow-up question to that. When you saw that, do you feel like your, I guess, like identity, and especially with those folk techniques, and also maybe even your role as a woman, play into the art you create?
When I first started, I didn't really pay much attention or emphasis on whether I'm a Chinese and a woman. Mm-hmm. I just want to do art because that's the thing I like. As the thing I have passion for so many years. But then it was a few years later when I was invited to do an art for art show called Certain Women. I don't know if you have heard about that. Mm-hmm. In Salt Lake City.
Yeah.
Yeah, Certain Women. And that was the first time I really, really think about my role as a Chinese woman artist. Mm. Because in that art show, they want to put emphasis on, the title for the art show is called Heavenly Mother. Oh. So I need to do an artwork that express the importance of Heavenly Mother. And I, to be honest, I've never really thought too much about that. I knew there's a Heavenly Mother when I was growing up, but I never really thought too much about that. And then in order to do an artwork for that show, I really try to find references and try to find it in the scripture or any papers that I can find about Heavenly Father, Heavenly Mother. And I really learned a lot about that. And after that show, I feel that, wow, I'm a woman artist and I'm just as important as the other famous artists. Even I'm not that famous, but I feel that as a woman artist, I can contribute so much into the world of art. And also, I remember I had a meeting with the curator for the Church Music Church History Museum, is Laura, and she told me that she always loved Chinese paper art, paper cutting art. But she said that is the first time she's seen something, Chinese paper art, that is has a religious theme. And she said this is really special. And that's why I think she said something like, that's one of the reasons my piece of work was chosen, because not only I have a very religious theme, but I can use my Chinese background, especially the folk art techniques, to express the religious theme, and that is really special. And she said she has never seen that before too.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I've been an art historian for a half of my life now. And I feel very similarly. And, you know, the Heavenly Mother exhibition, I think that was for at the Center for Latter-day Saint Art, right? To, or in collaboration with that.
That's another art exhibit. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, I worked with them recently. They're wonderful to work with. And I love that you got the opportunity to work with Laura Howe at the Church History Museum. She's doing an incredible job there. And I think another thing that kind of sticks out about what you're saying too, is that like another identity that intersects with you both being a woman and Chinese as well is your religion. And I think we've kind of like skirted on that, but like I know you said you did some research on Heavenly Mother, and the way that you did that research was to look at like the scriptures. And so can you share a little bit about how your faith journey influences your artwork and the messages you aim to convey?
My mother was the one who brought me to church, and actually the family to church. And in Hong Kong, I'm kind of like one of the few who grew up in a LDS family, and then I have my own family. So it's like all my life I've been going to church. And maybe I can share one experience. A couple years ago, my husband and I served a senior mission in Beijing, China. And we were supposed to do humanitarian work. And at that time, the wife of the director of CAU, we had a video call, and she, you know, just a week before we went up to Beijing, she was checking on me whether I've bought everything I need for the mission. And then all of a sudden she stopped and she said, "Julie, I know you are an artist. Would you like to bring your art supply to China?" And I was thinking, do I have time to draw and make art during my mission? And she said, I don't know, but just bring all you need. And at the time, I have already packed my suitcases and it's all full. And anyway, I just stuffed all my art supply. Well, not all my, but some of my art supply. And we went up there. I never really think I would use my art. Mm-hmm. And it was actually over there that I had a lot of experience, especially the Chinese member over there. They always ask me a lot of questions. One of the sisters asked me, she said she joined the church and her friends always tease her, said, why do you join an American church? We are Chinese. We have our own belief, our own faith. And so she asked me a couple questions. She said, does God or does Heavenly Father know Chinese? And I said, of course. And then one of the sisters, she asked me, you know, when God appeared to Joseph Smith, they spoke in English, right? And then when Jesus Christ was in Jerusalem, in Israel, they spoke Jewish language, right? So if they appear in China, what would they speak? And like, without thinking, I said, of course, Chinese. And the sister said, well, they know Chinese. I said, of course, they know each one of us. And so they asked me a lot of questions, saying that if Jesus Christ is here, what would they do in China? So it was that time that gave me some inspirations to do us. At that time, that year, we're studying the New Testament. So I started to do some drawings about some New Testament stories, but I did it in a Chinese setting, like Jesus Christ is dressed in a Chinese costume and with the Chinese people preaching over there. And the members over there, when they look at the pictures, they said, wow, so God we didn't know as Chinese, he's the God of Chinese people too. I said to them, yes, of course, he's God of the whole world. So if he's with us, we'll be able to understand him, and he will use our own language to teach us. So that was the time I started to do a series of not only Chinese paper cutting, but Chinese brush painting with scriptural reference, but in a Chinese setting. So I think that's the way how my faith influenced how I paint my do my artwork.
Yeah, well, and it sounds like to some extent it creates a culturally specific kind of artwork or language for, you know, one that you understand very well, that comes from kind of your own upbringing and geography. And then on the other hand, it seems like art in a way is kind of transcending linguistic difference for you, because you're able to create an image that can maybe speak not just to kind of Chinese people, but you're centering kind of Chinese experience in a way that is so refreshing, but also can share stories to people all over the world.
Because I think that in this way, it's easier for them to relate to their own culture and their own experience. I remember maybe a couple of centuries when there were Jesuit missionaries who went to China to preach. And at first, they didn't have a lot of success because the Chinese people, they really, you know, very... don't really like the Western missionaries. So there was one missionary, he decided he will start painting some pictures of the the New Testament stories, but in a Chinese setting. In that way, it will be easier for the Chinese people to relate to them, and they easier to accept the message preached by the Jesuit missionaries.
I like that a lot. I know we're getting a little short on time, but I wanted to ask you one final question before I close us out. But looking ahead, are there any kind of new themes or techniques that you're excited to explore in your future projects? Any future exhibitions you'd like to plug? I know we talked about the 13th International Art Exhibition briefly. And then where can folks find you? not your address.
Online, yeah. They can go to IG to find my work over there, Julie Yuan Yim. I am actually experimenting with some new techniques. I remember one of my patrons who bought my... Actually, he bought the Plan of Salvation, and he also bought other things. But once he asked me, you know, is it the only way to do Chinese paper cutting? Mm-hmm. Can you do it in other colors? And so I've been trying to experiment with different medium, and I do have my plan. When I'm doing Chinese, I'll employ more mixed medium techniques in my work. Because, you know, I do Chinese brush painting and also I do Chinese paper cutting. So I'm trying to see if I can integrate the two different mediums into my new artwork.
Oh, well, I'm so excited. I'm so excited to see what next you do. You've got a big fan here, and you know, we will have you featured not only on the cover of our summer 2025 issue, we have several of your Chinese brush painting pieces, as well as other Chinese paper techniques. So thank you so much for being with us today, Julie. I want to leave listeners with the prompt to go ahead and check out our website, dialoguejournal.com, where you can find a lot of Julie's art. We post all of it on there. And we also have other podcasts, interviews, and audio stories. So thank you for being with us, Julie, and thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Greetings, my name is Rebecca DeSchweinitz, and I'm thrilled to serve as a board member at the Dialogue Foundation and as one of the hosts of Dialogue Gospel Study. In each episode, which we record live the second and fourth Sunday of every month, we welcome esteemed speakers from a variety of backgrounds to share their insights and perspectives on the Come Follow Me lessons. Our aim is to spark meaningful conversations about the scriptures, to connect them to our personal experiences and to our understandings and explorations of the gospel. To stay in the loop with our upcoming lessons and this opportunity to engage with Mormon thought, culture, and belief, be sure to visit dialoguejournal.com and sign up for our newsletter. By doing so, you'll receive updates and timely links to join our live stream lessons. Additionally, you can catch up on our past guests and episodes by subscribing to Dialogue Journal on YouTube, Facebook, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Dialogue Podcast Network.